You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
It's my joy to welcome you to another conversation designed to support and encourage Christians who lead. A quiz question to start the show. What proportion of the population of the UK have a disability? I'll give you a few moments to consider that, though you will appreciate complete silence doesn't make for good radio, so I will talk as you ponder. What percentage are you going to go for? The term disabled is defined by law, especially under the Equality Act of 2010, as having a physical or mental impairment that has a substantial and long-term negative effect on their ability to do normal daily activities. I wonder if that definition helps you. According to government figures, an estimated 16.1 million people in the UK had a disability in 2022-23, accounting for 24% of the total population. Disability prevalence varies with age, with 45% of those over state pension age reporting a disability, according to the Office for National Statistics. So I wonder if you'd have gone for 24%. I certainly guessed much lower before I did this research. Of course, the range of kinds of disability is very wide, but nevertheless, I wonder whether as Christians in leadership, we give sufficient thought to those with disability as we serve those we lead. So to talk about this, I'm delighted to welcome back the Reverend Jonathan Edwards. Premier listeners know him, of course, as the writer and presenter of the Be Still and Know daily readings. He served as a pastor of Baptist churches in Bury St Edmunds and Orpington, and later became the General Secretary of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. Latterly, he has served as a moderator of a number of churches and is involved in a number of charities that are concerned to serve those with disabilities. Through the Roof, Count Everyone In, Torch Trust, and Churches for All, and he was formerly involved with Prospects too. So I'm looking forward to discussing how we might, as Christians in leadership, better welcome those with disabilities, among other things. So welcome, Jonathan. Lovely to have you back on the show.
Good to be with you, Andy.
So what was it in the first place that made you so concerned about the issue of disability?
It was my upbringing. So I was in a large youth group in Essex, and three of the youth leaders, there were many youth leaders, but three of them had disability. Okay. And the issue was they were just friends. They were leaders. They were people who were impacting on my life. And the fact that they were in wheelchairs or had significant disability were not the matter of attention. So I had a huge influence from them. I mean, they had, one of them had cerebral palsy, and his wife, Sandy, had spina bifida. They were both in wheelchairs, but incredibly articulate, able, and encouraging people to me. Another person who became a very great friend, Tim, had Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So I was watching his decline. He was, I guess, probably in his 30s when he was my youth leader, but I got to know him even better in years after that. The whole issue of disability was just a normal part of life, is really what I'm saying. And I saw their Christian faith, and I saw the way in which they lived with their disabilities.
Jonathan, it would be good to be clear on the best language to use. You work with charities, of course, and I'm sure they will have the best lingo to use. There was a time when disability itself was frowned on, I believe. That seems okay now, but words such as handicapped, victim, or phrases that suggest pity, such as suffers from or whatever, to be avoided. What advice do the charities you're involved with give as to the language we should use that's appropriate?
I mean, that's such a good question. It's a really important question, isn't it? Language is always evolving, isn't it? And because we want to be as sensitive and caring as possible, it's good that we remain very humble about the language that we use. And in our lifetimes, the language has changed vastly. I mean, it's not that long ago since there were road signs saying cripples crossing. You can't imagine such
Wow.
language these days. And I mean, it's not that long ago that the Spastic Society changed its name to Scope. And it, so, it, you know, we have seen a change of words. There would be different views, is probably the best way of putting it. Clearly, there are some people who don't like the language of disability at all. Some people would say, can we call them people with disability? So we're quite clear they are people, not just disabled, as if that's a basket that we can
Sure,
put them in.
yeah.
They are people. I'm a person with height. I happen to be tall. I'm still a person. And it's we just need to be careful with our language, and I think light on our feet. And when we find that the words we're using cause offence, we should be willing to be very humble and change it. But I would choose the language of people with disability. It is an ongoing conversation. Believe me, when I meet with my many friends who are involved with supporting people with disability, it's often a subject of conversation. So the important thing is our care and our desire to be sensitive.
Sure. And as you say, I'm sure people will forgive if you have the right attitude about it.
Yeah, I mean, they generally are forgiving. Some people are offended by what,
Okay.
that's fine. We just need to hear that and seek to respond to it.
Sure. What is your sense of how churches in the UK are doing with this topic? Is there a best practice standard on how we should do things?
I think churches are more responsive these days than they used to be. I think many churches have taken significant initiatives to encourage people to engage with these issues, and that's really great. Is there a best standard? I mean, if a church wants to explore this, an individual wants to explore this, I would l encourage you to look at some of the audit tools that are available. Many dioceses have them, the Methodist Church have it, but most churches will offer a disability audit tool, which enables you to look at the life of your church and ask the big questions. The big agenda on disability, it seems to me, is love. Are we really showing love to every kind of person, whatever their ability or disability? And in order to think these things through, it's often good to have a scheme, a plan. So look at these audit tools. I Googled them recently for myself, and there's some wonderful resources there which would help any church just to reflect on what are you like. So to go through the exercise of what is your church like for somebody with a wheelchair, just think it through. Perhaps even get in a wheelchair. Think it through. How does your church building work at that height? I think we've done well, not least because of the legislation of recent years. We've done well with handrails and slopes and looking for wheelchair access, and that's great. But there are many other issues. Think of what your church would be like for somebody with a visual disability. It may be absolutely fine. I'm sure churches will have thought about this, but ask is most congregations will probably have somebody who has some degree of sight loss. Good to ask them, sit down with them and say, does this work for you? If you're using a screen, are the words sufficiently clear? Often words on screens can be unbelievably unclear. You need perfect sight to be able to see what's there. It's about consideration, it's about love, it's about care, isn't it? Hearing loss is extraordinarily common. Very few people have 100% hearing. Lots of people have a degree of hearing loss. So again, is the PA adequate in your particular situation. You know, maybe there are some parts of the building that are not as good as others, and all of that. But it's all about expressing care and love. But I, in answer to your original question, I think churches are more aware of these things and more considerate than they used to be. But there's a long way to go. I'm not suggesting we're home and dry by any means.
Sure. And the illustrations you've given, of course, have been classically physical disabilities. A few years ago, I spoke with Mark Arnold, whose son is autistic. Mark works with local churches, helping them become more friendly for people like his son. So there are things to be aware of with neurodivergence, autism, and what's called ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder. I mean, people question again the language, whether disorder is the right kind of word to use, but still, you know, there's some mental challenges that people find. And I guess you can't, maybe a local church can't be, you know, aware of, you know, the tens and hundreds of disabilities. But nevertheless, if there's people within the congregation who are have neurodiversity, they can be focusing on them, I guess, to some degree.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's all back to this issue of love, consideration, isn't it? You know, getting to know people and what is good for them. One of the charities I work with is called Count Everyone In, which I love, and it works with adults with learning disabilities. 1.5 million people in this country have a learning disability, so more than 2% of the population. So again, most churches will be in touch with people with a learning disability. I did have, you mentioned that I spent some years working with Prospects, which was a charity working with learning disabilities. It no longer exists, sadly, but it was such a privilege to work with people with learning disabilities, some of whom are non-verbal. They don't do words. Some will have just 50 words that they're operating on, or 100 words. Well, what do they do when they come to church? Because most adults will have thousands of words and will be using them freely in service. So how is that person going to listen to a sermon if they've only got an understanding of 50 words? Well, the reality is they actually do need probably a different kind of service, a different kind of environment. And Count Everyone In is brilliant at finding imaginative and other ways of worshipping God, which involve fewer words, more actions, always food, more involvement of people in an imaginative way. And often their times of worship will be briefer than we would have for a normal service. But it's all about finding ways that relate to those particular individuals. But Count Everyone In is a great new charity which grew out of the Ministry of Prospects, and which I'm very glad to support.
Some may be a bit nervous, Jonathan, about having conversations with people with disabilities. They don't want to come across patronizing, but on the other hand, they want to be listening well to how their experience is. Have you got any kind of tips on the kind of conversations that you could create and have?
Yes, that's such a good point. I would just encourage people to make contact. You know, we can always get it wrong in conversations with anyone, can't we? And I think just entering into that conversation with humility and with real interest in the individual. I was talking with, I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? I feel really privileged to be involved in this aspect of ministry. Because you're always learning so many new things. I spent time with a disabled person, somebody in a wheelchair, just a few weeks ago. And I made the assumption that they must love spending time with other people who are disabled because they've got many things in common. And it was just so helpful to have this conversation and for her to say to me that she actually doesn't like spending time with people with disability. You know, she chooses to spend as much time as she can with people who are able-bodied. And it was, it was good because it just challenged my assumptions. And no doubt there'd be many disabled people who love spending time with people who are disabled, but that's fine. But I think we've just got to be ourselves, show our concern, try to relate to the person, and seeking, of course, not to be patronizing, but seeking to come alongside them, try to learn about their perspective on life, because that's the body of Christ, isn't it? That's the richness of being part of the body of Christ. Everybody has a voice, everybody has a perspective. We can learn from everyone.
Of course, Christians with a disability who have leadership gifts may well be called into what we call ordained ministry or whatever the language is in a particular denomination. Is it your sense that the church as a whole is welcoming them into leadership roles?
Increasingly so. I really do believe increasingly so. But churches often find it difficult to adjust to new things. I had the privilege when I was looking after the Baptist churches in the southwest of England as the superintendent. I had the challenge of somebody who was blind coming to me, a trained Baptist minister. And I was keen to encourage churches to consider him as the possible minister for their church. And I well remember the moment. This is almost exactly 25 years ago. I would write a letter to the church to commend the minister. And I wrote this letter, and then the final sentence, having commended him for his abilities as a preacher and pastor, I then said, "And you also need to know that he is blind." I then looked at this letter, I remember so well, and thought, actually, I can't do that. I've got to turn it the other way around. And so I began the letter. Glenn is blind, and he's also an incredibly gifted preacher and a very fine pastor and all of that. And I remember the conversation I had with that village church as they considered having Glenn as their minister. And they did find it a challenge. They couldn't imagine that, well, how will he do this? How will he do that? And I assured them that he would have ways of overcoming all the obstacles that they could put in his way. And so it proved. I mean, he proved he became their minister and had a very effective ministry in that village. After some years of really serving well there, he then went to a very large church, with a large church building in Plymouth. And I remember the people there saying to me, "But how will he cope? How will he get around the building?" And I said, "I know Glenn well." I said, "He will know his way around this building better than you do within a couple of days." And of course, that's how it proved. But we had to work through the challenges that they perceived. But whatever the disability, I'm absolutely sure God is able to use men and women with the appropriate spiritual gifts. But it is a bit of a jump and a challenge for the church, isn't it? They've got to think through their life differently. There's no doubt about that. But it can be done, and I've seen, particularly through my friend Glenn, and I mention him particularly because he's just celebrated 25 years since that first time of me commending him to a church in Devon. So it can be done, and I would encourage people who've got the call to ministry to go ahead, whatever your disability may be. God can use you and wants to.
Well, it may be someone's listening now, and
Indeed.
this is their encouragement. So maybe hear that from the Lord. The charities you're involved with engage with local churches. What are the kind of things they do, Jonathan? And
Yes,
obviously, I'm asking
yes.
this, those listening might want to invite them along.
Sure. So Through the Roof is a charity. It grew out of the initiative and ministry of Joni Erickson Tada in the sort of 80s and 90s, who became well known. And it seeks to help churches to engage with every kind of disability. And the way in which they particularly have sought to do this in recent years is by encouraging churches to recruit a roof breaker. People will know the story of the four friends who led their friend to the feet of Jesus, breaking through the roof. The only way they could get to Jesus in the house in which he was ministering was through breaking through the roof, through having the initiative and the gumption and the determination to break through the roof. And the challenge is to us, are we willing to break through the roof to help disabled people come to meet Jesus? And so the Roof Breaker Initiative is crucial to this. And what that is saying is every church needs a person to help those who are disabled to reach Jesus, to help people to get close to Jesus. The person doesn't need to be an expert. If they are an expert, that's brilliant. Praise the Lord for that. But we really just need people who are sensitive, loving, who are concerned about this, who will therefore be thinking through what is the experience of people who attend your church. So that's a great initiative, and we've recruited hundreds of people to be roof breakers, and long for more. I'd encourage anyone to look on our website Through the Roof and see more details about that. So that's Through the Roof. Torch Trust, I'm involved with, exists to enable blind and partially sighted people to encounter Jesus and to grow in their lives in Jesus. It's been around for more than 60 years. It's great charity. And again, think of blind and partially sighted people. This is a common experience of people, especially age-related macular degeneration. 600,000 people in this country have macular degeneration, which is very limiting and hard for people as they lose their sight in old age. The number of people with macular degeneration is likely to double in the next 20 years as the population gets older. But Torch Trust does a fantastic job. It does provide amazing service, providing Braille for those who can read Braille. Only a minority of people with partial sight, will be able to read Braille, but obviously it's wonderful for those who do read Braille. But they also have other ways of helping people who have limited sight. So that's Torch Trust and Count Everyone In I've spoken about. We meet together. We have a way of bringing these disability groups together. And for the last couple of years, I've chaired the group called Church. We now call it Church Is For All. We used to call it Churches For All, but we now call it Church Is For All. And this is just a way of bringing quite a large number of Christian disability charities to have a conversation about how we can support churches and welcome people with disabilities. So, yeah, so I do commend particularly those three charities, Through the Roof, Torch Trust, Count Everyone In. They've all got good websites and good resources to help you.
Well, Jonathan, it's been terrific to chat with you, and I kind of feel like we've covered an awful lot of ground in a short time. And if 24% of our population are suffering from disability, this is a crucial thing for Christians to be thinking about. I don't know whether the
Absolutely.
proportions are higher within local churches or not, but certainly our capacity for outreach into communities is enormous. And thank you for shedding
Absolutely.
light on it today. So.
No, privileged to do so. Can I just point out, I mean, you're absolutely right on those statistics, but they actually say 11% of children have a disability.
Right. Okay.
23% of those of working age adults have a disability, and 45% of those who are retired. So it is a big challenge. We cannot dodge it. Every single church needs to make a response. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. That was my conversation with Jonathan Edwards, former Baptist minister who is involved in a number of disability charities, Through the Roof, Count Everyone In, Torch Trust, and Church Is For All. So do connect with any of those. Go to their website, find out a bit more, And maybe consider doing an audit, as Jonathan suggested, of your local church to find out how it could be better for those with disabilities. Of course, if you have someone in your congregation, think about inviting them to give some feedback on how it is for them as they attend the local church. Both, of course, both physical and mental disabilities. May God bless you in your ponderings and as you seek to love one another in this particularly crucial area. So this is Andy Peck, your host. Enjoy, as always, curating these shows for you. Do email me if you have ideas of potential guests or topics you'd like covered. Very happy to consider those. So this is Andy Peck, thanking you for your company and looking forward to the next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.